Good morning, Peninsula Hope Church. I hope you guys are doing well. If you guys are a visitor today, we're so great that you guys can join us. Let me open us up in some prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, we serve you. And we're so grateful that we can gather, Lord, through the use of technology to be together. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me, Lord Jesus, and to me, Holy Spirit, as we talk about more of your biblical truths. We pray this in your name. Amen. Recently, and I might have mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that our new superintendent, he mentioned that along with the coronavirus, the pandemic that we have been going through that has been so terrible and has affected so many people, their lives and so many aspects of their lives, that along with this, there is another pandemic that the world faces. And in many ways, it's so much worse, and that is the pandemic of sin. And I think this was such a profound statement because there is a reality about God that many people forget or they don't realize. And it's actually the next biblical truth that we're talking about. And that is that God hates sin. Let me say that again. God hates sin. Now, the definition of hate is to dislike intensely or passionately, to feel extreme aversion to something or an extreme hostility towards that, or to detest it. And so God passionately has an aversion or hostility to sin. Now I want to read some verses that we find that speak to this. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 19, the NIV says, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community." Psalm 5, verses 4 through 6 in the NIV says, "For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and the deceitful you, Lord, detest." Psalm 11, 5 in the NIV says, "The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion." And then the final verse I want to read is Proverbs 8, verse 13, the NIV. It says, "To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech." Now, I know these are not easy verses to hear because we want to think of God in this loving way that he's never angry with us. But the reality is God hates sin. We see that very clearly in the Bible. And I think that because we know that God hates it, and it is the reason why Jesus died for us, he died for our sins, it's important for us to know something about what sin is and the sin in our lives. So I want to start today by taking a look at what exactly is sin. The Greek word for sin is armatia, which means failure or missing the mark. But what exactly is the mark that is missed? Well, quite simply, it's the characteristics that Christians should embody as ones made in the image of God in his likeness. So let's take a look at some of those characteristics. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3 in the NIV says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23 in the NIV says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." And then the final verse I want to talk about is 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7 in the NIV. It says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres." Those are the characteristics that people miss when they sin. And what those characteristics show us, it shows us that sin is more than just a set of do's and don'ts, or just lists of things that we should avoid in the Bible. It shows us that sin is also a heart condition. Matthew 15, verses 16 through 9, or 19 in the NIV says, "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander." And what Jesus is explaining here is that, again, sin is more than just wrong actions. It's what's in someone's heart that causes them all the problems. And in this case, he's saying that the issue is not that people are eating food with dirty hands. That's not what is defiling them. That's not the problem. The problem is the sin in their hearts, their sin nature. That's what's defiling them. Because sin is also a condition of people's hearts. Now, to help us understand what that looks like, I want to take a look at some verses that talk about what sinful heart conditions look like, or having a sinful heart. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, the NIV, it says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." I think if you take a look at some of those again, things like discord and jealousy, dissensions, selfish ambitions, I think a lot of Christians experience those things. They have those things on their hearts, which hopefully shows you sin is more than just a list of do's and don'ts in the Bible. Colossians 3, verses 5 through 9, the NIV says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices." So this means when we are saved, when our minds are renewed, when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our sinful ways, they need to change. We can no longer have that sin nature in our hearts. We have to work to get rid of it. So hopefully you guys are getting a better understanding of what exactly that sin nature is And again, that sin is more than do's and don'ts and these lists of things to avoid that are in the Bible. They are about a heart condition. And this is so important to understand, this issue of the heart. Because if sin is only viewed as behaviors and lists of do's and don'ts, then people will justify all sorts of sins if they're not able to clearly and specifically find certain sins in the Bible. I've seen people do this and they tell me, well, you know, Pastor Andrew, I didn't see this issue specifically in the Bible, so it's not a sin. And I want to tell them, what's the condition of your heart? Because actually it is a sin. You just aren't looking at it in the right way. Again, we have to understand that sin is a condition of the heart. Another reason is that if people do not understand that, they're going to interpret sin based on their perspectives and their desires to justify their actions. And then finally, if people don't understand that sin is also a heart condition, they won't recognize sin, because there's times when sin is hidden behind a good act. Let me give you an example of this. As Christians, we are called to give tithes and offerings out of an act of obedience and also an act of worship to God. But if someone gives a tithe or an offering to gain a title or a position in the church, or to push their agenda, or maybe to get favor from the pastor, what looks like an act of obedience is actually a sin. And people may not see that, but God does, because God sees to the hearts of people. He sees your heart condition. So this is why it is so important to understand that heart condition is so significant when we're taking a look at the sin in our lives and in the lives of others. This issue of heart condition also shows how God expects Christians to live at a higher standard. Let me use the sin of adultery as an example. The Ten Commandments tell us that adultery was forbidden. Exodus 20 verse 14 in the NIV says, "You shall not commit adultery." And the purpose of Old Testament laws, and specifically the Ten Commandments, which was the law, was to reveal sin. But God takes the sinful act of adultery and he adds to it a person's heart condition. Matthew 5 verses 27 through 28 speaks to this. So this is the NIV, and it says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." What that means is that it's not the act of committing adultery that's the problem. It's that you've committed the act in your mind, in your thought life. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we commit a lot of sins in our minds. But because we don't think of heart condition, we don't think we're sinning. But we are. Jesus is kicking everything up a notch, and we need to look at things a little bit differently when we look at the sin in our lives and the sin in the lives of others around us. Another aspect or something that we see when we talk about missing the mark of godly character is that sin, it separates us from God. And this is why he hates it so much. Because God loves all of us. He wants to spend eternity in heaven with us. But sin, it gets in the way of this. Isaiah 59 verse 2 in the NIV says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will no longer hear." Sin separates us from God. Ephesians 4 verses 17 through 19, the NIV says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. Separated. We're disconnected from God. Because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Sin separates us from God. Now that we have a better understanding of sin, and I know this is a lot to process, so I encourage you, if you have to, watch this sermon again, because this is so important for Christians to understand that God hates sin. But now that we know this, now that we understand it a little bit more, why is this biblical truth important? Well, number one, sin is the reason Jesus had to die. Jesus was the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We didn't pay the price for our sins and our sin nature. Jesus did. And now I hope you understand when I say that Jesus became sin, that he took on the sins of the world. Jesus became what God hates. Jesus became sin for us. And I hope that sets in. I hope it gets into your minds and your heart, because it just shows the magnitude of Jesus on the cross and what it means for us. That Jesus died for our sins. He became what his Father hates for us. And that act is an act of love. And then next, why it's so important to understand this biblical truth is that we are made in God's image, in his likeness. So we need to hate sin too. We need to despise the sin in us and the sin around us. We need to feel sick when we sin and when we see sin. Now here's the thing, I'm sure there's those of you out there saying, Andrew, Pastor Andrew, this is so harsh, I can't believe you're saying this. Now here's the thing, if you are a new believer, I get it. Don't beat yourself up, because God forgives us of our sins. And I don't want you to walk away from your faith because it's too hard. So I get it. Forgive yourself because God does. But if you've been a Christian for 5 years, if you go to church every single week, if you are a leader in any ministry in the church, you need to be a little harder on yourself in regard to sin and quit making excuses for the sin in your life. James 3:1 in the NIV addresses this. It says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Now, I hope you understand that teachers are not just pastors. If you're in a position of leadership, and it could be leading any ministry, you're in the position of teaching others how to become stronger in their faith. You're a teacher. Therefore, this verse applies to you. And if you don't see it that way, just like sin, you're probably taking things a little too easy on yourself. We need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. Hebrews 5 verses 11 through 14, the NIV says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness." Righteousness is being in right standing before God. "But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." What this is saying is that if you've been a Christian for a while now, you should already know the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And you should be growing. You should not be struggling with what exactly is a sin. You should already know, and you should actually be at the point where you hate it. and you are doing everything you can to eliminate the sin in your life. Again, we are not perfect, but we have to set the standard that we want to get sin out of our lives as much as possible, even if we know we'll never be able to do that. We don't give up trying. Here's an interesting bit of information that I found. Most babies begin to eat solid food in 4 to 6 months. And I think we would all agree it would be really weird to see an elementary school kid, much less a high schooler, eating Gerber, you know, bottled, crushed up peas. That would be so weird and really kind of inappropriate. But why do we justify sin? If we've been Christians for many years, we can no longer feed like babies. We can't be infants in the faith. We need to be growing. I want to end with this illustration, and I've used it before regarding sin. Sin is a lot like trash. It stinks. It's toxic. It makes us sick. But an interesting thing happens when you're around trash for extended periods of time. Eventually, you stop smelling it because you've become used to it. You no longer recognize the stinkiness of trash. But if you remove yourself, like if you were to step out and go for a walk in the fresh air, the second you come back, you're going to be overwhelmed, and that stink, it's going to be disgusting, and it's going to drive you crazy. Well, the same thing is true of sin. That the more you sin, the more you're around sin, the less you are able to recognize it. But if you're able to get away from that sin nature, if you spend some time around other people who are trying to eliminate sin in their life, to try to reduce how often they sin, and we all sin daily, but if you're around people that is their goal, you start to recognize what your sin life was like. You start to recognize how stinky your sins are. So I want to encourage you this week to think about that. Think about the sin in your life and start to develop a hate of sin. You know, church, our world is full of so much hate, and we're hating the wrong things. People are hating people. People are hating the way people think. We need to hate sin. That's what we need to hate. I want to encourage you in that week. And again, I know this is not an easy sermon, but it is so important that we understand this, that we get that God hates sin. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that this hits home. I pray, Lord, that this can be a transformational message, Lord, that we understand how much you hate sin, ultimately because of how much you love us and how much you know that sin hurts us, how it separates us from you. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would convict us of sin each and every day. Lord, I know I sin, Lord, in the morning, I sin at night, I sin all the time, Lord, and I don't want to. I want to hate sin. Help me to address it. Help all of us to address the sin in our life. Help us to understand that sin is more than a list of do's and don'ts, Lord. It is a heart condition, and we need to change that heart condition. Lord, help us soften our hearts to you, to love, Lord Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. I hope you guys are able to join us because there's another aspect with sin, and that's repentance. And we're going to talk about that on Zoom on Sunday. God bless. Hope you can join us.